it looks a lot like Christmas time of the year, and it's hard to ignore the season, so I thought I would give a Christmas sermonette. And, of course, we all know what the Pope thinks about Christmas, and Billy Graham, and a lot of other people. And I used to really enjoy Christmas, so it doesn't matter too much what I think about it. But I thought it would be interesting to ask the question, what does Christ think about Christmas? After all, it's supposed to be his birthday, a celebration, right? So I thought that, first of all, I'll take a look at some of the symbols or icons of Christmas. First one that's so obvious is Santa Claus. Now, Santa Claus is this older, kind of rotund white guy that's supposed to be going down all the chimneys and bringing things for good little boys and girls all over the Christian believing world, right? I think they even said on the news the other night how fast he would have to travel to do that, and it was kind of mind-boggling. And although I may have believed that when I was 2 or 3 years old about him doing that, as I reach the 60s, my age, I find it kind of hard to believe that a man my age could do things like that. And his red and white outfit doesn't seem appropriate. You would think that he could wear something that doesn't show dirt so easily, you know. Soot, maybe kind of charcoal or black, and maybe spandex, you think. But anyway, what does Santa Claus have to do with the birth of Christ? I know it stretches the imagination to the breaking point to think about that. Well, there was a brilliant German communication specialist by the name of Joseph Goebbels, who was supposed to have made this quote some time ago. And he said, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. And that was certainly true in his time, which was a long time ago, during World War II. He led the Nazi propaganda machine, and he was very good at it. And people did believe the lies that he told and were swept up in that. Of course, the thing about Santa Claus has a different source, and that's the God of this world. And he was the first one who lied. He's the father of lies. Well, Santa Claus doesn't seem to have too much to do with Jesus Christ's birth, does it? What about the Christmas tree itself? Was there a Christmas tree in the manger when Christ was born? No. What does it have to do with Jesus Christ being born over there in Israel, in that area where there probably aren't very many pine trees around to begin with? When I was working for the federal government, I used to travel quite a bit, and sometimes I would end up in small towns, kind of remote areas, and one of those was Paris, Arkansas. I remember that some time ago. That's a nice little place. And I was just reading the paper one time and happened to see this. It's a local paper. And it says, Christmas trees are an old tradition. So where did Christmas trees come from? That's what this paper says. Some historians trace the use of evergreen trees in the home to ancient Egyptians. They used green date palms as a symbol of life's triumph over death in their celebrations of the shortest day of the year, winter solstice, you know. And the Romans adorned their houses with evergreens to celebrate Saturnalia. And so the use of a Christmas tree predates Christianity, at least according to this article, by hundreds, even thousands of years. So what does the Christmas tree have to do with Jesus Christ? It's part of a pagan celebrations, people who celebrated the winter solstice, and predates Christ a long time. Well, what about exchanging gifts? Surely that's an important part of Christmas. I mean, you look under every Christmas tree and there's all kinds of gifts there. And surely that's a good thing, to give gifts, and even a better thing to receive them, you know. or at least if you're a small boy like I was growing up on a farm, it was really neat to see all the packages with my name on it under the tree. But exchanging gifts, when Christ was born, the Bible doesn't talk about the shepherds bringing him any gifts. It only talks about the wise men bringing him gifts. And they were three gifts. Doesn't say how many wise men brought them, but there were three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold was a symbol of him being a king. The frankincense, which is used in incense, of him being worthy of worship, a god. And the myrrh, showing that he was human and going to have to be killed, that he was going to die. So they were rather symbolic, in contrast to the gifts that people give today and receive. People go into debt quite a bit just to be able to give gifts to people who expect an expensive gift this time of the year. So gift giving really doesn't have a great deal to do with the birth of Christ, at least giving gifts to each other. And even the manger scene is often distorted. Sure, the shepherds arrived on the scene not too long after Christ was born. They came to the manger. But the wise men didn't arrive for perhaps months or years. As a matter of fact, it may have been up to 2 years by the time they got there, because the little boys who were killed around that area of the country were killed from the age of two on down, hoping to kill Jesus Christ as well. And that's when the wise men received. Well, surely Christ was born this time of the year, though, right? Surely he was born on December the 24th. I mean, that's what a lot of the signs on the churches say. They say that he was the reason for the season and celebrating his birthday and that sort of thing. But all you have to do is look in the Catholic Encyclopedia. Sometimes the Catholics are pretty honest about things like that. And the Catholic Encyclopedia says they don't know when he was born. And that the reason December the 24th was chosen probably has to do with the fact that a lot of the pagans at that time worshipped the sun around that time of the year. So it's borrowed from the pagans. Well, what does Jesus Christ think about that? I know when I was in the Worldwide Church of God years ago, before I had a family, I was thinking that my kids grew up, they would certainly continue to be in God's church and have a much better life than perhaps I did and that sort of thing. It hasn't really turned out that way. And one of my daughters keeps Christmas, which is a thing that I fret over from time to time. And so her oldest daughter, which is my favorite, and I guess I shouldn't have any favorites, but she's one that I like a lot anyway. And we were talking about Christmas the other day, and she said, "Well, Grandpa, why don't you celebrate Christmas?" And I said, "Well, Christ wasn't born on December the 24th. And I said, "Well, how would you like it if..." And she was born in October. "How would you like it if people would come over to your house on December and say they're celebrating, they love you, and they're celebrating your birthday, and they exchange gifts with one another, and then they go home?" And she said, "Well, I wouldn't like that at all." So I don't know if I got through to her much at all. But at any rate, that's basically the way it is. Jesus Christ, though, has something specific to say about celebrations like Christmas. If you'll turn to Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12. One of the major things that God revealed to me when I began understanding the truth was that the Jesus Christ of the New Testament is the same being than in most places was the God of the Old Testament, the Lord of the Old Testament. For example, it was the being who gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. And here in Deuteronomy 12, Moses is relating what the Lord had told him. In Deuteronomy 12 and verse 29, and this is what he says, "When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess," he's talking about the nations in the land of Canaan, "and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods? I will also do likewise.' You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods." And that was true. Some of these winter solstice celebrations resulted in things that degenerate. "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it." So that's how God, Jesus Christ, wants us to obey him. He gave us specific instructions for the Passover, which commemorates his death. He did not give us any instructions for celebrating his birth. That's because it was not that important to him for us to do that and to know which day he was born on. There's another place in the New Testament that also tells us, and that's in John 4. John 4 and verse 24. And this is from Jesus Christ himself. John 4, starting in verse 23. And he says, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And so, all, or almost all anyway, of the symbols of Christmas are based on a lie. Jesus Christ doesn't want us to worship him that way. So what would Christ think of Christmas? He would condemn it roundly. He wouldn't want to have any part of it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can know that, and we can obey him, and we can come out of this world, and we can thank God that he has revealed that truth to us.